is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2. The Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, The Fan, and youtube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Party on, party people, on the YouTube stream. We have got a big weekend ahead of us. And it's not just the Final Four in college hoops.
Go on.
Monday is a monumental day for college athletics. That is when a judge in California is set to finalize the house settlement.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bum, bum, bum. Which is, if you have been following along, that will put into place the $20.5 million that universities can pay out directly to student athletes in NIL funds. It will also establish, in all likelihood, Deloitte as a third-party overseer of any other NIL money outside of what the universities have. So if it is a NIL deal that, what was the threshold? Was it $600 or $6,000?
$600 like was the first threshold.
Yeah, anything over that goes to them, and they say, well, this is way too much for what this student athlete is worth. And that's going to be challenged in, I don't know, every court.
And lose in glorious fashion.
Yeah. But all of that is set to be finalized on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that this weekend is the final weekend for any NIL deal
that isn't going to go into that
to get pen to paper to get done before caps are set.
Yep.
And that has led to why we see so many college basketball players in the portal right now.
And big transfer portal names. You've already seen Henry Vassar, who just committed to North Carolina, probably because he got the paperwork done for the check.
From Arizona.
Xavier Lee has left the transfer or has gone into the transfer portal for Princeton. He's a second round guy, but he's a great college point guard. Like, you're seeing some big names. Ivicic.
Yeah.
He's got his brother at Illinois, and there's talk of him either going to Illinois or Indiana. Like, you're going to see these deals for these guys that are going to test these waters and get this done now. They're going to do it over the weekend. But it's also a big deal for those Final Four teams.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause guess what? They're all recruiting still, and they're like, they're looking at guys that may or may not test the NBA waters. Like JoJo Tugler at Houston is a guy that might test the waters.
That's such a great name.
Yeah, he goes by Joseph sometimes, I'm like, no.
Be JoJo.
JoJo Tugler is a great name, dude.
Yeah.
Go with that. Yeah. Brand that. That's a good one to ride on.
Dude, JoJo or Big Joe Tugler?
Mm-hmm.
Big Joe Tugler.
But these schools, and I don't feel sorry for them, but Bruce Pearl's out there telling everybody, like, look, man, it's a mad dash. Like, I have to try to balance this while also worrying about Florida tomorrow.
Well, and there is Blake Lawrence, who runs Open Doors, and he's an interesting cat. I've talked to him a few times about the landscape of NIL, and Open Doors is one of the companies where it's basically a portal for athletes to sign up to, and then companies can reach out for NIL opportunities. Ross Dellinger has an article up that Lawrence is quoted in, where he says that there are like deals that are written out, ready to go, mm-hmm. ready to sign, just once players are done.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just waiting. You know, like, all there's contracts that are written up.
Because they're talking to their agents, because these guys have agents now.
They're all written up, ready to go for not the school they're currently at, by the way. But, and that's the thing, is it's an agent doing it. They're just
doing
their thing.
Do my handle my business.
And this goes back to, like, the whole, you know, Kevin Willard. I haven't talked to my agent. My agent talks to people. Jonathan Smith with the whole Oregon State, Michigan State thing with, like, you know, my agent, I'm sure he's talking to people about things.
They're
all know what's up.
Look, man, if you've ever gone house hunting and you've had a realtor, If you had a good realtor, they're calling you probably, if not every day, every other day. Like, they're you're getting feedback.
Yep.
You're having somebody do something on your behalf that is a major, major deal. They're not leaving you in the dark.
Nope. Nope.
Like, it's so disingenuous to paint it that way.
But it's leading to what is going to be a crazy weekend.
Yes.
You're going to see deals done. Oh. Second, third, fourth options are going to fall into place in an instant. And, like, make no mistake, too, there's conversations being had right now, probably with those agents saying, hey, man, look, he's not our number one.
Mm-hmm.
But if this guy falls through, here's what we're willing.
Yeah.
Willing to give up. And so
because
all
they're
of these,
probably looking at a guy who's going to the NBA and seeing what kind of a grade he gets.
Yep.
And that grade has salary slotting behind it. And that does impact this stuff. Like, if you can get $850,000 as a two-way versus getting a cool guaranteed mil and a half.
It's crazy.
Guess what you should go do?
It's absolutely.
Go take the mil and a half.
It's absolutely crazy right now.
And look. And it's,
what's happening?
There's an interesting article that's up on CBS Sports right now that talks about some of the most impactful players in the Final Four that were transfers last year that took less money to go to programs. LJ Cryer. What's his name? Sion James and Mason Gillis, Malik Brown at Duke, Uzon. Like, these are all guys that had more money. I think Uzon was out there basically saying, you wouldn't believe the money that is out there, even for a guy like me.
Even for a guy like me. Yeah. There's a quote that Dellinger has there where, there's an agent of a player who averaged 10 points a game in college basketball this year. And his agent's like, dude, he's getting offered like $2 million a year.
Yeah.
And he averaged 10 points a game.
Yeah. That's why these guys are getting agents, man.
Yikes.
I talked to an agent who reps a player at Duke. And this was in the beginning of the season. And I was like, wait, you've already signed him? We're a week into the season. He's like,
yeah, bro.
He goes, he knows what he's doing.
Duh.
And I was just like, oh, it's getting that serious now.
Yeah.
Like, fresh on campus, you've already got an agent. Like, it's just like that we have teleported through this stuff at like light speed.
Yeah.
Of like, agents weren't allowed in the building and now they're signing guys like the first week of the season.
It's nuts. This is the wild, wild west that everybody's talking about. Right now is a showdown at the OK Corral.
Yeah.
This is where it's going to be a bloodbath and it's all going to come to an end on Monday. Right.
Well,
similar to that saga of in Tombstone, Arizona, it doesn't end there.
No,
it doesn't end at the OK Corral.
It changes.
But it looks a lot different. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot different. The war is still going to be fought, but it's going to look a lot different.
It's a lot more cold
come
war.
Monday. Yeah. Hey, this is an interesting question that was answered. Who does AI believe is the most delusional fan base in college football?
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
That's pretty good.
Interesting, huh?
Let's see what Allen Iverson has to say.
Next on The Fan. Somebody finally did it. They asked the questions to AI that fan bases have been arguing over for years. At CFB Home on X asked the question, let's settle this once and for all. Okay. Hey, Grok, which is Twitter's AI arm. Who are the five most delusional college football fan bases? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what do you think the five most delusional college football fan bases are?
Florida State.
Okay.
Tennessee.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think any of the old Pac-12 teams are going to be on there in the top five.
You would be correct.
Penn State?
No.
No?
But
okay.
That's a good guess.
It feels like it's going to be heavy SEC Big Ten. Am I wrong?
No. No.
Ohio State?
Okay.
Even though that the delusion is probably not that far from, you know, winning a title. And I'll go... God, I want to go one out of the box here, but I'm not... Nebraska?
That's a really good guess. You, my friend, mm-hmm. I thought you put together a very good list. I really do. Mm. You got 1 of 5.
Wow.
According to Grok.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's what Grok said. College football fan bases are a passionate bunch, and sometimes that passion can blur the line between optimism and delusion. Based on recurring themes in various discussions, rankings, and sentiments expressed across platforms like sports articles, forums, and social media, here's a take on the top 5 most delusional fan bases as of April 3rd, 2025. Mm-hmm. This isn't an exact science. Delusion is subjective, but those groups often get called out for expectations that don't quite match reality. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 5, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And I'm just going to give you a quick one here. Basically, they're in a time warp reliving 1998.
Yes.
Okay.
That Tennessee was one of the first ones that popped in my head.
Number 4, Auburn. Auburn fans live in a world where they're always one step from toppling Alabama and dominating the SEC.
Yeah, that's good. They're stuck in this a very similar time warp.
Okay, this is where it gets a little weird.
Okay.
Number 3, Michigan. Michigan fans love to tout all-time wins and college football royalty status, but the past decade plus has been a roller coaster. Before their recent title in 2023, they endured years of losing to Ohio State and falling short of expectations, yet still acted like they were perennial contenders.
Yeah.
Even post-championship, some argue, their arrogance has only grown, ignoring the lean years that preceded it.
Yeah.
Okay. Texas, number 2. This is my favorite thing.
I thought about going Texas.
AI has got it. Mm. You know what the very first line of the rundown of Texas being at number 2 is?
Texas is back.
Texas is back. Has become a meme for a reason. Longhorn fans have been riding the high of their 2005 national championship for nearly 2 decades, convinced every season that their massive resources and recruiting prowess will finally restore them to glory. Even with a strong 2024, the annual preseason hype often overshoots their actual performance, especially given their historical inconsistency in the modern era. Mm. And the number 1 team of delusional fan bases in all of college football... This will warm your heart.
Mm.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I was going to go down that path, but I stayed away from it because even with the exception of 2 years, they still have been good.
Yeah.
But they do tout like we're a national title winner every single bleeping year.
Here's what Grok had to say about them. Notre Dame fans consistently top lists of for their unwavering belief that their team is still an elite powerhouse. It was decades ago, mm-hmm. despite not winning a national title since 1988 and getting routinely outmatched in big playoff games, they cling to their storied history and academic prestige as proof of eternal relevance. The hype every offseason feels like a ritual, only to end in familiar disappointment, yet the faithful never waver.
Because they've been more successful than a Penn State, I definitely thought of all the ones that I named, Tennessee and Penn State were going to be on that list.
Yeah. Grok gave an honorable mention to Texas A&M for big spending and modest results.
Yeah.
Miami, still chasing the U of old.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska, 90s nostalgia in a new century.
Yeah. Nebraska was I could see this one being in there.
I went to Gemini.
Mm.
Google's AI.
I asked
for a top 10.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I'm not going to give you a rundown on each one of them, but I will say...
Who are the other teams that were on there?
What I will say, the list is
very
far
similar.
Closer to yours.
Oh, okay.
Than Grok's. Number 10, Michigan State. They just think that the moderate success and their expectations are bonkers.
Yeah.
Number 9, Auburn.
Okay.
Number 8, USC,
okay.
Where it says they're similar to Miami and Texas in their historical success and allure of the program in a major market with high expectations. The belief of their ability to quickly return to national dominance is often present even during rebuilding phases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that.
Number 7 is Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 6, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the number 5. In the top 5, I'll give the rundown on. because this is eerily close to yours. Number five was Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Passionate fan base remembers the history of national championships and expects a return to that level. Despite coaching changes and struggles, the belief their imminent resurgence remains strong for many. Number four, Florida State. Mm-hmm. Following the 2013 national championship, some fans maintain expectations of being perennial national power, sometimes before consistently dominating in their own conference again. Number three, Miami. Mm-hmm. The echoes of their dominant past fuel expectations of a swift return to national prominence. This often leads to overlooking the current state of the program and time needed for rebuilding. Number two, Notre Dame. Almost exactly what Grok said. Mm-hmm. And then number one is Texas.
Yeah. Again, I stayed away from Texas just because of...
They're back.
Not just that. There was the they beat themselves over the head with "we're not good" publicly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when they did do the thing and they said they were back at the end of a season, yeah, but it, like, throughout the year, there was always like, oh, we always shoot ourselves in the foot. We're not the Texas of old.
Yeah.
That's why I stayed away from them.
Yeah.
Because there was that you know, what was that Tom Hanks movie? The big book, Catholic Church. What the hell is the name?
Bible? The Celestine Prophecy?
No.
The big book with the Catholic Church, Bible.
No.
Da Vinci Code.
There we go.
Thank you.
Remember Paul Bettany's character? I can never remember what it's called. He wore the things around his legs, the self-chastisement.
Yeah.
Like that.
The monk
guy? Yeah, that felt like Texas fans.
Yeah.
Like they were always like self-inflicted harm for sins committed.
Yeah.
Like even though, they would get loud and yappy about it, they also were like, it's like self-inflicted pain of like, we're not actually back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like a team like Penn State for me was a team that I was just like, you haven't done anything.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
You're not, you keep like walking up to the blue blood table. It's like, no,
you're not.
No, you're not at this table.
No, you're not. And
you're very close, but you're not at this table.
No. And what I find interesting is that out west, we obviously talk Oregon, Washington, USC, mm-hmm. and we put them in that, all three of them in that, you're delusional.
Sure.
Category, right? What I find interesting, when you get AI, this is like taking every corner of the internet, mm-hmm. right? And I think it just goes to show that outside of the West Coast, people really don't care about those three schools.
No, they don't.
No. I mean,
it just means more.
Yeah. And out here, we're like, I think if you were to put this top five list together, I think a lot of fans would put all three of those schools in either the top five or the top 10.
Yes, 100%.
Because of our regional bias. It depends
on where you take the poll at.
And we're all in our own kitchen,
yes,
right?
Like, 100%.
Everybody is in their own kitchen. But the reality is the wide scope of it is I think it shows that all three of those programs are healthy fan bases in that they have expectations mm-hmm. and they believe their team is going to live up to them. Every single one of those teams that is making these top 10 lists or top five lists are ones that, yeah, we want to say they're living in the glory days and it's a what can you do for me now. Reality is the what can you do for me now is a very short list of teams that have won national titles. Mm-hmm. And it's Alabama, it's Clemson, it's Ohio State, and it's Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? LSU's been thrown in there too,
Georgia.
Right? In Georgia, yeah. I mean, you look at that, it's like six, and we can go back a decade.
Yeah.
Go back a decade, mm-hmm. right? It's really damn hard to win a national title.
That's the thing is...
And there's very few that
have
that.
The last team to win a national title in those three is 20 years ago.
20 years. Yeah. And you've had... The other two have played for
it.
And that's where that healthy delusion comes from.
Look,
from a fan base.
I'm as big as a USC sycophant as there is. Going into last year, how many wins did I say they would get?
You said eight. Yeah. It is. I think there's also a reality here.
Yeah.
But once any of these teams, and this is.
Show anything.
But it's fandom.
Yes.
That's what fandom is that you say, nope, finally.
When Caleb came to USC,
yeah.
and they were that team, and I thought they would keep that momentum going, and boy, did they not.
They sure didn't.
They face planted.
Look at AI. You know, everybody's talking about like AI is going to be the downfall of the world. Mm. It's solving the questions that we need answered, though. And I think that was one of the first ones.
Is AI providing the answer?
Yeah. Oh, should I ask?
Alan Iverson, anyone?
Yeah, no, I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
Well, I'm posing the question,
no.
Which was his first shoe.
The good shoe.
Yeah, that was a great shoe. You see Reebok is making that into a golf shoe?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, they saw all the money that everybody was getting for the Jordans. Look, I bought a pair. They're so freaking
comfortable. I can't wait to get blisters in those shoes. It's going to be awesome.
But you look good.
It'll be great. All right, I'm going to ask Gemini really quick here. Will the Portland Trailblazers ever win an NBA title?
Ooh, I don't think you want to. My wife and I are watching that show, The Wheel of Time.
Oh, will the Portland Trailblazers win an NBA title? Should I put a time frame on it or ever?
Let's go 10 years, just so we're not going too far.
Okay, in the next.
But there's a character.
That'll probably tell us like in the year 3142.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the show Wheel of Time, there's a person that has visions of the future, and they all like come true. It's like she can see their deaths. And my wife asked me last night, if you had somebody who could tell you your future, would you want to know it? I was like, absolutely not. No. Oh,
wow.
Absolutely not.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
Okay.
Is this a Magic 8-Ball situation where results are unclear?
Buddy, no. Gemini gave me an entire path to the Blazers winning an NBA title in the next 10 years.
Oh, print it out. Put it up on the wall, baby.
Yeah. It's,
do we need to get this on at the 45?
I think we should. Okay. We need to revisit this.
Okay, no.
It legitimately has... It has a current situation.
Let's print it out and then mark it down, man. Let's walk through it. I like
path
this.
Path to contention and championship, and then likelihood in the next 10 years.
Okay.
And then it gives me a conclusion. Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah, no, we're going to have to dive into this.
Oh, boy.
All right, coming up next, though, we do have our worst day on the web.
What the hell am I doing?
Look, man, Florida just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving and just... Stay safe out there if you're in Florida. But first, here's the Big Kuno Sports and Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
If we did a map for all of the things that we talk about on Worst Day on the Web, there would just be... 1,000 pins in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
It's truly incredible. I don't go looking for this.
Yeah, that shot chart would be pretty solid.
It's the paint. Florida is driving to the rim. Like, that's what this is, okay? It's a lot of frequency, a lot of finishing. And I don't go looking for this. It just is. This one, a self-proclaimed doctor, and anytime you're using doctor in air quotes... You're in for a little bit of a ride.
What is it, Dr. Nick? Hi, everybody.
Yeah, basically. Self-proclaimed doctor, again, air quotes, who performed surgeries in Florida wasn't licensed.
Yeah. I think they...
Think about that for a second. Not a guy like, coming in and maybe doing a little bit of medical work, but like... Yeah. Cutting you open.
Yeah. I think my first giveaway was he had a box cutter.
So this guy, not doctor, Wilson Munoz Suarez, known to patients as Dr. Wilson Munoz, advertised cosmetic surgery procedures and medical supplements on social media and his website. And he's pictured smiling medical scrubs, touting his more than 25 years of transforming lives. He worked at a surgical center in the Little Havana neighborhood. The complaint ended up being filed because a patient... was having complications with her surgery, and they didn't make clear what kind of cosmetic surgery it was, but she, I'm guessing it's a one-way state of consent to be recorded in Florida, because she got him on tape saying, yeah, it was me that did surgery. Well, apparently she did some background checking, and, well, he's not licensed. In his About Me section, it says he's done a couple of things, and he's known internationally for procedures that he's done, like in Colombia and stuff like that. But nowhere does it say he's medically licensed as a doctor or a surgeon anywhere.
Wait a minute. He said, okay,
He began his career in medicine. This is what the website says on the, it was about us in 1999, but there's no information linking to any sort of medical degree. In the, like the about me section, he's achieved great recognition throughout the national territory.
Wait a minute. So hold on. This guy's cutting people up.
Uh huh.
And in his about me, mm-hmm. it's he's Colombian. He's done Colombian cut people open, Colombian
Venezuela
style.
And the rest of Latin America, including Colombia and Panama.
So we're going Colombian necktie. He's known for the Colombian necktie here. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Just think about that. Like, how? Dude's been doing this for 25 years?
Well, I think. What it takes is whoever's running that clinic mm-hmm. to be like, okay. Sure.
Like you didn't ask for medical degree or credentials or
apparently not.
Like
apparently not. That, and that's where this starts. Is it? It's one person not doing their job. That's how we get to Dr. Nick.
Yeah,
cutting people open.
And look, there's a, like you see all of the social media videos of the Turkish airports.
Yeah.
It's nothing but balding men with all these dots on their head that have
bandaged up on because, their dome.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like number one, 10 times cheaper. And like they've made it very clear that this is the thing they're going to do. And so they bring in experts. And it's like, I know people have gone to Mexico for surgeries and saved tens of thousands of dollars and been totally fine because they can't have this happen and have people not coming there because it becomes a big part of their economy.
Brother, I was on the bus, going from one terminal to the next at the San Diego airport. Mm. And there were no less than, of the 20 people that were on this bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say just shy of half of them, about 8 or 9.
Were they going to get dental work?
They either had gauze packed in their mouth or they had like their mouths wrapped up because they went down to Tijuana for dental work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like almost half of the bus
went
down to Mexico to go get dental work
done. And it's not immigrants. It's normal everyday people because it's so much cheaper.
And I asked the lady, I was like, what's going on here? And what one of the ladies goes, it's cheaper for me to fly from, and I think she was coming from Seattle, maybe. She's like, it's cheaper for me to fly from Seattle to San Diego than go to Tijuana and get the work done than it is for me to go to a dentist in Seattle.
A procedure from anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000.
Aggressive.
Well, I mean, you can go to Mexico and get veneers. That's what a lot of people are going to Mexico to get veneers done.
Dang.
And they go to the resort towns that have all the American money that, you know, the military's protecting and all that kind of stuff because they don't want anybody messing around with it.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. There's certain countries around the world that specialize in certain surgeries. I mean, you know, the BBL comes from Brazil.
Yeah, the Brazilian butt lift. Yeah. Let's go. Text on the fan text line. I could probably figure it out. How hard could it be? That doctor probably. Yeah, he's like,
I mean, if you watch a few of those like YouTube videos of like, I'm sick. I went and watched a hip replacement when I was going to do hip replacement before my other surgery.
That's the last thing I would do before going in to get one. But yeah, but that's you.
I watched it. I'm like, I did have that feeling of like, that doesn't seem that hard because like, I don't think people generally understand like for a lot of like those kind of surgeries, and not brain surgery, not heart surgery, but like a hip replacement surgery, mm-hmm. it is a very like, or getting your wisdom teeth removed. It is not this delicate process. I woke up to my wisdom teeth being removed when I was in the Air Force off base. This is not on base. The dentist had a hammer and chisel in my mouth and his foot on my chest, like a freaking miner.
Just
hammering away.
Yeah. They had to cut away parts of the bone in my bottom jaw to get mine out.
They it's not a gentle, delicate procedure. They just break that stuff up.
And by they, that was my dad.
No.
Bet you clean your room.
I didn't even need my wisdom teeth out.
Yeah. He's like, no, 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 no. You violate curfew again, Jeff.
But like I watched the hip replacement. They literally, they zipper you up. Like it's not like a very delicate knife. They just cut you open like a fish.
Yeah.
Take a pack saw to your bone, rip top half of your femur out, drill it out, and then a machine does the rest.
Yeah, that's always like an alarming thing when you go in for a surgery and you're like they bust out like the Sharpie and they write no on your good. Like on my ankle, when I had my ankle surgery, they wrote no on my good leg. And then yes. I'm like, oh, you couldn't tell by the fact that it's like black and blue and all mangled up. Okay. But hey, they need it.
And they do five checks. What are you having operated on? And they have you sign the paper before they give you the drugs. You sign five pieces of paper. And then right before they wheel you in again, what do you have them worked on?
Yeah.
And by that time, the first painkillers hit, and you're like, make the L's with your hands. This side.
Text.
This side.
It's not that hard. Danny ends up with two left hands.
I mean.
Yeah, you know.
You get the reused
one. Well, this is a real story. Texture says, maybe it's the same doctor that did my mom's cataract surgery on the wrong eye and just said, well.
Yeah, you can't draw on the eye. Do you draw on the eyelid?
You just go underneath.
Yeah, on the face?
Yeah. Like, maybe you do the teardrop.
Yeah, the little prison teardrop tattoo.
That's the one we're operating on there.
Fantastic stuff. Absolutely love it. No notes. But you have notes. We ran the path to success for the Portland Trailblazers through AI. We're an AI-generated show today.
Well, no, AI answered the question of most delusional fan base in college football. So it's a question all Blazer fans want to know.
And it gave us a very thorough answer.
Well, you're not kidding.
There's a lot there.
Well, I mean, it gave a path for contention.
Yeah, we'll dive in that next year, Danny and Dusty, Tinder the Fan. Well, Dusty had the 10 most unserious fan bases in college football.
Yeah, man.
Generated by AI.
Delusional.
He was like, you know what? I wonder what happens if I run this through for the Trailblazers. We put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
Next 10 years. The likelihood of the Trailblazers winning a title in the next 10 years. And it spit out a pretty detailed path. Not like every touchstone, but it did hit on a lot.
Well, Jeff Russ printed it out. It's a full page. It is a full page of information on the Blazers. And it goes through things like where they're at right now, their current situation, and breaks down the roster. And actually did a pretty good job.
If you're looking, if you gave this to an alien trying to understand where the Portland Trailblazers were, it does a pretty good synopsis of where they are.
I mean, it started with the Blazers are currently rebuilding phase after the departure of Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Their focus is on developing their young core. And it mentions Scoot, Shaden, Simons, Denny, Two, and Klingon. And it kind of goes down and says their age, position, and their strongest trait, right?
Yeah.
Then it says they have veterans like Jeremy Grant and DeAndre Ayton who could be trade assets as this team continues to rebuild. That's actually true.
Yep.
It says they have draft capital in picks that they could use down the line or trade for established players. And then goes through that they are plus 200,000 to win the NBA title.
Then it says that they're showing improvement, but not currently a playoff contender.
This is where it gets interesting, though, because it goes to path to contention and likelihood of them actually winning in the next 2 years. And this is where I want to bounce this off of you. Mm-hmm. It says developing star talent. The Blazers need their young players to develop into all-star caliber players. Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharpe have shown flashes of this potential.
Okay.
I've got questions on that, but strategic drafting and player development. They need to continue drafting well and developing players effectively.
Which is effectively saying that they have done well in the draft.
Acquiring more talent. This could be tough through future drafts, trades, or free agency. Identifying and acquiring players to complement their young core is crucial. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching and chemistry. This is kind of one of those ones where is this kind of saying they need a new coaching staff. They say a strong coaching staff and good team chemistry are essential for championship caliber team.
Yep.
All right. Health and luck. You need to stay healthy and a little luck in the health department is needed. And then the strength of other teams in their league will play a significant role. The Western Conference is currently very competitive. So likelihood of winning in the next 3 to 4 years. The focus will be continued on development of the young core, accumulating talent, and establishing consistent winning culture. Playoff contention might be the goal in this period, but a championship is a long shot. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah, next 3 to 4 years, unless you got a massive, massive, massive infusion of talent. Yeah, I agree.
Mid-period, 4 to 7 years. If their young players develop as hoped, and they start making some smart acquisitions, the Blazers could potentially become a strong playoff team and even a dark horse contender in 4 to 7 years.
I think the windows on this are a little more skewed than reality, but otherwise I agree.
7 to 10 years. If everything aligns well, the young core reaching their prime and the team built into a cohesive unit with the right supporting pieces, a championship could be realistic in this time frame.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Their conclusion is, while the Blazers have a young, promising talent and a path to improvement, winning an NBA championship in the next 10 years is a challenging goal. It will require significant development of their young players, smart team building, and navigating competitive league. It certainly is within the realm of possibility, but it's far from a certainty at this point in their rebuild.
Yeah. The only disagreement I really have with this is the windows. Yeah. Because I think we look at windows a lot larger than they actually are.
Yeah.
And not just for winning, but for team building. If I had told you, you know, that Jimmy Butler was going to be available for trade 2 years ago when he's taking the Miami Heat to the NBA Finals, would you believe it?
That Jimmy Butler was
Going to well, I guess Jimmy's a bad example.
I was going to say, I mean, we've seen him piggyback some really bad teams.
Luka.
With that team last year, no, I wouldn't have thought it.
And that's the thing is, like, windows can change drastically.
Yeah.
And that impact that it has, because you have no ability to alter that of, you know, somebody getting injured or a big trade happening or a player that, like, SGA going from a guy everybody thought was going to be really pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, he would make maybe a couple all-star. Like, after year two, everybody's like, he's got some juice. Nobody saw him being an MVP candidate. Nobody.
No.
If they're telling you otherwise, they're lying through their teeth.
Well, I mean, like, just look at the guys who are stars in the league right now, whether it is Giannis, Jokic, SGA. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys were all drafted outside of the top 10. Giannis was 13. Yeah. All of them outside the top 10. So, yes, that it is very...
Steph was the third point guard taken in his draft.
Yeah. All right.
The Timberwolves took two point guards ahead of him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So, like, Con Knipple will be... The best player in the league.
But other than that, yeah, I think this does a pretty solid job of kind of...
explaining how hard it is.
Yeah.
But we've been trying to do that for years.
Yeah.
And
The one that should have, like, the big, giant, bold letters on it, luck.
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 That's the way the Blazers made the Western Conference Finals with Damian Lillard, is an insane amount of injury luck. Not for them, but for the other teams that it went against.
Rick Adelman was adamant when they brought them the guys back the other night for the remembering that era of the 90s Blazers, that they were better the next year, and they screwed up against the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, that was a better team. Bill Walton gets hurt in 78. That was a better team. Were they 50-12 when he went down?
Something
like
remember.
That. They were insanely good when he went down.
That's crazy.
Like, luck plays such a massive, massive part of this. A coin toss in the Jordan Bowie Hakeem draft.
Yeah.
Like, luck.
Yeah.
So much of this is luck. But other than that,
I think it does.
I think it does do a pretty good job of summing it up.
So. Yeah. So if you're wondering, AI told us that. Don't hold your breath on a Blazers championship in the next decade. I mean, which is pretty fair, seeing that we're creeping up on
55 years.
Yeah. Well, no, 77. We are creeping up on 50 years.
Yeah.
We're at 48 years now. It's a long time.
I was trying to think of the length of the organization. Yeah. One. And
that's a that's a really, really long time.
Yeah. It's a long time.
So in 10 years, let's not get over our skis here.
Yeah. We're more measuring in half centuries, not decades.
Man.
So they're due.
Yeah. All right.
They had one in 50. They'll have another one in 50. Somewhere in the next 50 years.
If that makes us feel better.
There you go. That's the math right now.
All right.
So, all right, coming up next in hour number three.
Thanks, AI.
We're going to dive into the world of college basketball. The award season is here, and it's not really surprising on one end, but college basketball did a little something weird, too. We'll get to that next year. Now, hour number three on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.